The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out workers for his harvest. Which harvest is Jesus talking about? What's that? The kingdom of heaven. Helen says it's the kingdom of heaven. Does anyone disagree? Good, because you'd be wrong if you disagreed. Yes. The kingdom of heaven, he's talking about that at the end of the age, that there's going to be a harvest. There are some parables about this as well. And the righteous souls that have entered the kingdom of God on earth are, at the end of time, gathered into the Father's house. Or in one of the parables, they're gathered into his barn. And everything else, the weeds that was among the wheat, everything else is thrown out and burned. But he's saying there's so many people, there are so many people that are ready to hear the gospel, that are ready to come into my kingdom. And there's no one to help them, no one to tell them about my kingdom, no laborers to go out and do the work of bringing people into the kingdom. He says, there are not enough laborers in my vineyard and in my fields. The Lord is inviting us to both pray for those workers, but also perhaps very obviously to be those workers. And he's inviting you and I to take that yoke upon ourselves that we heard from last Sunday's readings. Just as an ox is yoked to another ox and they drive the load forward or they drive the plow forward, the Lord gives a yoke for you that fits really well. That yoke of service that fits you really well, for which he created you. And it's very personalized and very customized. And some of you don't like being compared to an ox. But all the men are resonating with that analogy right now, probably. And the Lord wants to give us a service and a work that fits us well. And to be laborers in his vineyard and in his fields. And in the harvest for eternal life. For people coming into his kingdom. Now, if we're a little bit disconnected from harvest analogies, it's because not very many of us are farmers, unless you're from Stockbridge, or I don't know. There's not that many of us that are farmers, even around here. So we don't really understand in the way maybe that the people of Israel would have. We don't hear it the same way. But raise your hand if you've been to a harvest party. Oh, wow. You're by far the most agricultural of the three masses on Sunday. Congratulations. Blessed are you. You are not far from the kingdom of God then. So at a harvest party, as many of you know, as soon as all the crops are gathered in, the wheat's gathered in, that's good. The grapes are gathered in. The grapes can be pretty good too, right? Everything's gathered in, and you celebrate. Israel, ancient Israel, would have done this. They had feasts for this. And this is not just Israel, but an ancient custom as well in many cultures. Of course, for Israel, it had a particular religious significance of worshiping God, thanking God, acknowledging him as the source of all of their fruitful labor and of the harvest that they got. But you get all this stuff. The harvest is like, we worked really, really hard. We planted, we tilled, we planted, we fertilized, maybe we dug an irrigation ditch by hand, like that would be probably a long time ago. But whatever we did, it was a lot of work. Nowadays, it's probably more like maintenance on tractors and things like that. But we did a lot of work, and all of our work paid off. It was all fruitful. And now we get to reap the benefits of all of our labors. We don't very often take the time to do that. Most of us. Now, I know if you're not a farmer, it doesn't make sense to. It's like, well, how would I do that? I'm not a farmer. Well, but in your own life, what do you do? Whether you're doing work that makes money or whether you're doing work that doesn't make money, either way, when you see that your work has been fruitful, now sometimes we don't see it, but when you see that your work has been fruitful, do you take time to have a harvest party? I mean, most of the time, I think the temptation for us is, all right, time to get back to work. That was good, let's get back to work. Or like, let's spend it. That was good. Let's spend it and then get back to work. But not just stop, rejoice, take time to enjoy this, thank God for it. And that's a really, really important thing for us to do. So in your own life, what would a harvest party, what would that be? If your work has been fruitful. And one of the ways in which we're invited to do that really is this week. I hope you celebrated America's birthday well. Happy birthday, America. I hope you celebrated it well and in gratitude to the Lord for all that He's done for us and in gratitude for all those who have served our country, especially those in the military who have who have paid the price for our freedoms, the freedoms which allow us to worship God, which allow us to have more fruitful labor, which allow us many blessings for ourselves and our families, to thank God for those men and women and their sacrifice, but to also enjoy and receive that freedom and thanking God for it. That is something we're actually called into every Sunday. The Sabbath is to rest from our labors, to thank God for what He's done for us. When we see that they've been fruitful labors, we can rejoice in that. When we don't see that they've been fruitful labors, we're making an act of faith and saying, Lord, I don't think this seemed to do anything at all, but I'm going to trust You that it was worth it. And it's an act of faith, and we're saying we're not slaves to work. That kind of entering into that rhythm of life really does open us up more and more, and experiencing that joy on like a weekly basis opens us up more and more to the kind of joy that the Lord really wants for us when we come before Him. Hopefully many years from now when we enter heaven, some of you might be thinking you'd rather go right now. I don't know. Do you ever think that? Because I get jealous when I see people who are 90s. They've lived a good, faithful life. They followed the Lord. And I see them right on the finish line. And I think probably in a couple of days, weeks, they're not going to be on this world anymore. But they're going to be somewhere that I've always wanted to go. And I will go, God willing. And when that day comes, what the Lord is inviting us into is to consider that all of our labors for the salvation of souls, all of the work that you do, He's inviting you into for the harvest into His kingdom, all the work that you do to help others to know Jesus, to follow Him, the work of bringing people into God's kingdom, those are going to be seen for what they are in eternity. And it's going to be one of the joys of heaven that you will have been, by God's grace, a part of somebody else's eternal salvation. Now, we can't earn our salvation, and we can't earn it for anyone else either. Jesus has already won it on the cross, and it's a gift. And yet, God uses us. Otherwise, why would He ask for workers if it was pointless? Why would He ask for workers? He says, the harvest is abundant. People are ready to come into My kingdom. There's no one to help them come in. I don't have any workers. I need more workers. One of the greatest joys of heaven will be to see your labors for the salvation of souls and to see the fruits of those labors and how you made a difference for somebody else in terms of their eternal destiny. And to rejoice at the Lord, what the Lord did for you, but through you as well. And the joy, and on that day, I think that probably a lot of us, we think, well, that's not me. You know, I haven't done anything for the Lord. Nobody really listens to me anyways. I know sometimes we get into thinking that whatever we're doing for the Lord isn't making a difference. I used to really have trouble with this verse, thinking that, Lord, the harvest isn't abundant. Because if it was, all my work would be bearing more fruit. There'd be like people coming into the church. I worked at a Catholic high school then. And everybody would be getting baptized. Everybody would be converting. Everybody would be going to confession or whatever. And I thought that God's word was wrong. But shocker, as it turned out, I was wrong, and God's word was right. There are just so many people that are ready to hear, that are ready to come into his kingdom. As it turns out, God's word's true. And there are people in your life that are waiting and ready. They might not know how ready they are. They might not tell you, I really want to know more about Jesus. I really want to experience his peace in my relationships. I really want to know, how does God want me to live in my marriage or in my work life? They might not say that. They might not know that, but they are hungry. There's a spiritual hunger there, maybe even a quiet desperation there. And you are in their life already. You don't have to go out and meet some stranger on the street and stand up on a soapbox and preach. They're already somebody, you know them. And what you do to be a worker in the Lord's vineyard can help make the difference for them in coming into God's kingdom. And one day, many years from now, we will see the fruits of our labors and enjoy what the Lord has done for us and rejoice in what he has even done through us.